Welcome and thank you for joining us for the NAHU Healthcare Happy Hour, the official podcast of the National Association of Health Underwriters. On this week's episode, NAHU's John Green and Chris Hartman review the new legislation that has been introduced on the Cadillac tax and health insurance premium tax. NAHU has long advocated for full repeals of both of these ACA taxes, and we'll look at their chances for passage while both of the taxes remain suspended this year. We'll also look at two Medicare bills, one to treat COBRA as credible coverage and another on observation status. And we'll look at NAHU's efforts to combat Medicare for All and single-payer proposals. Before we begin, please take a moment to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and to rate us. The podcast is posted every Friday on these platforms ahead of being distributed through NAHU's member-exclusive health policy newsletter, The Washington Update, giving you a head start on your weekly healthcare happy hour. The big whoop for the Washington Update podcast this week is the introduction of bipartisan legislation to permanent repeal the Cadillac tax. The tax had originally been scheduled to take effect last year, but under NAHU's advocacy, it's been twice delayed. What is the significance of the reintroduction of the full repeal in this Congress, and what is the strategy for advancing this legislation into law?
So the House is expected today to drop a bill to repeal the Cadillac tax. It will have some new faces on it, given that there's been a change in control, but there'll be some familiar faces on it. And I think that's what's encouraging about it coming out now is that early is good, especially now that the rules have changed in the House where you only need 290 co-sponsors to take a bill to the floor. And so with that rule change, had that been in place the last time when we had 304 co-sponsors, we could have gotten a vote on the House floor for full repeal. So we're going to have to build a robust co-sponsor list again. There are a lot of new faces, a lot of education to do, but I think we can get there. I think that what else is driving potential action on this year is the fact that regulations are expected in September, and nothing will move them more than besides the fact if it's right up the date of implementations right here, which it's not, it's 2022, is the potential for regulations that will frighten everyone.
Yeah, we are excited to see the bill reintroduced today with Congressman Courtney of Connecticut, Kelly of Pennsylvania, and allies such as Susan Del Benny of Washington and Elise Stefanik of New York as some of the new faces that will be leading the Cadillac tax bill this year. It will go to the Ways and Means Committee, where we do hope they'll be interested in taking it up. It is time that we repeal the Cadillac tax, because I really think that part of the reasons we've seen deductibles going up in the past few years is as businesses prepare for the Cadillac tax come into place, there's only a few places to make adjustment, and those deductibles have been one of them. So we really need to have this repealed now. John, you're right. The new House rules say if you get 290 co-sponsors on a bill, it is going to be brought to the House floor. I think that's a very exciting change, something that the Problem Solver Caucus worked on to get into the new rules package, and I think creates a much more bipartisan institution. So I'm looking forward to seeing that moving forward.
We lost our champion in the Senate, but we are very close to picking up a new champion there, and we'll announce that hopefully maybe as soon as next week.
Yeah, it was unfortunate that Senator Heller, who has been a great champion on this issue, was defeated. But there are other, obviously, Senate Republicans who've been very interested in this topic, and we'll have that introduced along with our previous Democratic champion, Senator Heinrich of New Mexico. And he is, again, excited to lead that charge in getting that repealed this year. And so hopefully, I think this year does have a good possibility of seeing this tax truly dealt with. I think it's important to get it dealt with now instead of later. The more we just keep delaying this, the more expensive it actually gets to deal with this problem.
Along with the Cadillac tax, bipartisan legislation has been introduced that would permanently repeal the health insurance premium tax, or HIT, as well as a similar bipartisan bill that would extend the current moratorium for an additional 2 years. What is the outlook for either of these bills in the new Congress?
Two bills have been introduced in the Senate, both on a bipartisan level, which is great, something that's been hard to achieve when it comes to the HIT tax in the Senate. First is a complete repeal of the HIT tax. Very excited to see this by Senator Barrasso and new Senator Kristen Sinema of Arizona. We're excited to have them introduce this bipartisan piece of legislation that completely repeals the HIT tax. Very early on in Congress, we've never had this level of progress on complete repeal in the Senate yet, so that is very exciting. And then there is, secondly, a bill that delays the HIT tax for 2 years, which is important because the HIT tax does come into place beginning next year. And so we have to have this dealt with sooner rather than later. And 2 years is important because we need time to be able to plan things out. We're not going to be stuck in crunch time again. And that Senate side bill for 2 year delay is got also a bipartisan introduction with senators on both sides of the aisle. And we're hoping that we can see some progress on overall repeal, but also most importantly, making sure that that HIT tax does not come back into place. We've seen the negative impact the HIT tax had had on Medicare Advantage, on corporate plans, on small business plans, because it adds about 2.5 percentage points onto everyone's plan. And so that's something that we just can't afford to be adding on to the cost of health insurance.
We should have a House bill anytime. The issue there is that we did lose some of our champions over there, and there's a lot of people who would like to take this issue on. And so there's sort of, who's going to get to be the champion on this bill? So I don't think it's the lack of interest. It's actually a lot of interest in who can carry the mantle on this.
I definitely agree with you, John, about interest. One of the interesting things about the delay of the HIT tax bill was just simply how many Senate Democrats were interested in co-sponsoring the bill this year, and their interest in actually taking the lead on it, which is a pleasant surprise for us. So we're very pleased to have a plethora of riches there. And senators from Senator Jones of Alabama to Shaheen of New Hampshire, all interested in making sure that HIT tax doesn't hurt their constituents.
The Partnership for America's Healthcare Future released new resources this week to combat the ongoing debate over Medicare for All. As a member of the partnership, what is NAHU doing to help message lawmakers on the perils of single payer? What can NAHU members do to help our effort? And how is the debate currently shaping up in Congress and around the country?
So Partnership for America's Healthcare Future is the lead organization in Washington, D.C. for opposing Medicare for All. NAHU has a leadership position within that organization, and we've worked very closely with the organization to craft their message to America, to politicians, and in the press. This week, we'll be sharing with our members some of the work of the Partnership for America's Healthcare Future. For example, how to talk about healthcare, and really how to do that in a persuasive way. What we're really trying to do is convince either undecideds or people who support Medicare for All that while I understand the valuable goal that they have because they want to see everyone have health insurance and be covered, there's a better way to do it than a government-run system. And so I think a lot of what we're delivering this week is about how to talk to those people, how to convince them that there are other ways to get everyone in this country covered, which I think is the goal that we can all agree needs to have happen. One of those pieces this week that we're handing out is an explainer video. In this explainer video, we'll actually go through the current landscape in healthcare in the United States, what's working and what's not working. And we should keep what's working in this country and not keep what's not working in order to make sure that everyone has affordable coverage and choice for their insurance and choice for their doctors.
So one of the messages that NEHU is going to lead on is to talk about what we're for. I think that's often missed. It's easy to cast aspersions against the other side for what they're trying to do, but we have to be for something. And so I think that we've got plenty to talk about and how we preserve and protect the current system that we have without blowing it all up and starting over.
Yeah, I think you make a really good point about starting over. Over 180 million Americans get their health insurance through their employer. And by large part, they are satisfied with that insurance. And a Medicare for All system would take those 180 million Americans out of that system and put them into a government system, many of which might not be getting as generous benefits as they're getting from their employer. So I think a lot of Americans want to have choice in the system. And what Medicare for All does is not provide any choice. There will not be an ability to have choice either by your employer or in the individual market. There will only be one choice, and that will be Medicare. And I realize a lot of people feel warm about Medicare. Many of us have grandparents and others who were on Medicare. But if when we take that system and apply it to everyone in this country, there will be a lack of choice and the problems with quality that will go on and the overall cost in taxes and the amount of taxes they'll be have to raise to cover that, to provide that, I think is something that we're just not ready to accept in this country. And why would we take all 180 million Americans who are having quality coverage out of that system? What we really should be targeting is the Americans in this country who aren't able to afford healthcare right now or who do not have coverage, and figure out how to cover them instead of upsetting the people who are getting quality coverage at this time.
It's now time for the senior moment, NIHU's review of key happenings in Medicare and long-term care policy. John, as a lead of these issue areas, what is your senior moment for the week?
It is COBRA. You may recall that in the last Congress, we had a bill that would say that COBRA coverage was credible coverage and therefore not subject to the 10% penalty for not signing up for Part B. And we are on the cusp again of reintroducing that bill. We lost our champion, Mr. Cabello. We have targeted another Ways and Means member, and that member happens to have a staffer who worked for Mr. Cabello, so she's already up on the issue. So we'll be meeting with her next week to try to see if we can get her new boss to take over this bill for us. All the other original co-sponsors are still here, so I think reintroducing the bill by CAP conference is a reasonable goal.
I think one of the other things we've been talking about this week is an issue for people on Medicare that John and I have dealt with, is the observation status issue. John and I participated in a meeting this week along with a lot of our allies about seeing this issue dealt with and how many seniors essentially get caught with a surprise bill for observation status when they're on Medicare. And we hear this from a lot of our members about how unfair this is. And I think a lot of the American public also comes to their broker and complains when this happens. So a lot of our brokers would like to see this get changed. We had a successful meeting this week about this, and I think we'll see introductions on pieces of this legislation very soon.
Right. And the hope is to get that also introduced in time for our fly-in.
Looking ahead to what's on tap, both the House and Senate remain in session as they negotiate a deal to reopen the government. As these discussions continue, what else is happening on Capitol Hill and elsewhere over the coming weeks?
This past week, Congress was supposed to be in recess. However, recess was canceled due to the fact that we're still in a partial government shutdown. However, this government shutdown is now the longest in history. And so they remained in town this week in order to continue discussions about reopening the government. As of Friday, it looks like those negotiations have started to bear fruit, and we might be looking at opening the government at least for a three-week period. While NIHU does not have a position on the shutdown, border wall, or the issues involved in this final negotiation, it does have an effect over on healthcare policy overall in order to start advancing our agenda on several healthcare issues with committee staff, with bill introductions, and just getting overall floor time for these sorts of things that we would like to see fixed, like employer reporting and others. So we're going to keep close eye on this because it's delaying some hearings that we would like to see in energy and commerce and ways and means and others on topics and very important to us, like the employer-based healthcare system. So in the short term, pretty much very little is happening as we're sort of standing still. But we do expect healthcare hearings to start coming onto the calendar in the coming weeks. I think you're going to see a lot, particularly around pharmaceuticals. And I think we're going to have some conversations soon on the issues of surprise billing.
I agree with that. As we've described here during this podcast, there is a lot of work being done to try to reintroduce bills that were left over from last Congress. And then that is moving forward. So we're just trying to stay as productive along those lines as we can until they come back.
It's now time for the NIHU Healthcare Happy Hours Toast of the Week. What are we toasting to this week?
This week, we would like to toast to a bipartisan House congressional organization, the Problem Solvers Caucus. The Problem Solvers Caucus is an organization of 40 members from both parties who look to work across the aisle to improve healthcare and other areas in America. One of the areas that they were very successful on this Congress was to change the House rules about how you bring a bill to the floor, saying if there's a bipartisan bill that has over 290 co-sponsors on it, can be brought to the House floor. This is an exciting change that NIHU plans on using with the Cadillac tax. So here's to the Problem Solvers Caucus.
Cheers!
Thank you for joining us for this week's installment of the NIHU Healthcare Happy Hour, the official podcast of the National Association of Health Underwriters. For more information on NAHU's government affairs efforts, or to join as a member of NAHU, visit nahu.org.